So when I was a senior in high school, this would have been around 2007, I was out of the blue contacted one day by this random guy on MySpace. I vaguely recognized him, but I didn't know him. He told me that he knew me from school, and that I had tutored him in math a couple of times. This should have been my first red flag that something was off. I hate math, and I've never tutored anyone on that topic. I told him that he was mistaken, but I tried to be nice to him and we struck up a friendly conversation. Soon, the guy, Brian, started talking to me at school. It started off pretty innocently. He was giving me more attention than I wanted from him, but I was kind of flattered by it, and I didn't really think much of it at the time. He was a couple of years younger than me, and I figured he had developed a crush on me primarily because we're both kind of odd compared to the other kids at our high school. It was a very small school. My graduating class was only about 40 people, and he and I were two of a very small number of alternative kids there. He was emo, while I tended to be more of the punk variety. Both of us loved My Chemical Romance. I figured he was into me because there weren't many other girls there with similar interests. Before long, he started waiting for me at my locker every day, between every class. He started following me around before school and during lunch. He started coming to my performances. I was in drama and choir. I tried to be polite, but started avoiding him. The situation continued to escalate to the point where he was sexually harassing me. Every chance I failed to avoid him. If he was waiting for me at my locker, he would say sexually explicit things to me, tell me what he wanted to do to me. Luckily, my girlfriends were with me and came over as soon as they noticed him talking to me, which made him scurry away. As quickly as it started, it was over. One day he stopped showing up at school. I was relieved but curious. After about a month of him being gone, my friend mentioned him in front of my dad, who was also the principal of my high school. My dad asked me about what happened, and I ended up telling him the whole story. He seemed really troubled. I asked him what was wrong, and he told me why Brian was absent from school recently. Apparently, not long after homecoming, Brian had strapped some fireworks to a cat and set them off. The cat exploded, and Brian laughed. He got caught and was sent to jail, and then was committed to a psychiatric facility by his parents after he was released. I don't know what happened to him after that. I'm thinking I dodged a bullet though, because he turned out to be even crazier than I thought he was. This happened when I was in high school. A few weeks in, I had made a few friends and I was keen on making more. So I would socialize a lot in the hopes that I would get more friends out of it. I was still somewhat new to the school and one day, I got lost. This is where I met the guy who would eventually become my stalker. He showed me around and helped me get to the class I needed to go to. And we made conversation, and at first, I thought he would be nice to have as a friend. A week passed and I had made a few more friends at this point. I wanted to hang out with him as much as I could. I felt a little bad because my other friend was a bit of a loner, so I invited him to come hang out with us. He didn't talk much at first, but after a while he eventually opened up to me, and then he wouldn't shut up. He mostly talked to me. He started asking me advice on life and whatnot, and I was happy to help. That is, until he started asking me to pat his head like a dog and make him wear a leash. It was a bit weird, you might say. I passed it off as a joke, and I humored him, something I never should have done. He started calling me his master, or mistress. I asked him not to do that, and I told him that I wasn't comfortable with his behavior, but it was apparently too late to fix things. He started skipping his classes to walk into and get kicked out of mine. He would follow me around all day, and if I would go to the restroom, guess who would follow me inside? I asked him to stop many, many times. He refused, so I tried to get the school involved. They had no proof of stalking, and I found that kind of strange since many of my teachers have kicked him out of my classes. But nevertheless, Nothing happened. He began to get more aggressive when I asked one of my guy friends to help me out with a homework assignment. My stalker overheard this from around the corner and didn't like who I asked for help. After that, he would pretty much fight and harass every male I would talk to. Some would probably find this flattering, but I found it annoying and immature. I tried to tell him not to worry and that we were just friends, but his exact wording was,
"They don't deserve you. They are worthless compared to my master."
I then yelled at him. I do feel bad because it was quite harsh, but I was about fed up with his and if he wanted to act like a dog, I was going to treat him like one. I thought I was finally free from that cycle. He finally stopped following me around. Until one day I found this letter in my locker. In this letter, my stalker gave his disgust for males and his hate for himself, and that he must be evil for his master to treat him this way, and that I must be taught not to shun pets. It was a few pages long, and it was very disturbing. In fact, it was the most terrifying thing I had ever read, especially when I got done reading it and looked up and saw him staring at me from down the hall. He came up to me and opened his phone and started showing me pictures of, well, of a cartoon character who had a similar appearance to me, with the same brown eyes and curly hair. Then, he tried to hand me a leash and asked me to walk him around. At that point, I ran away, up to the office, letter in hand. The principal finally had the proof he needed and agreed to step in. The cops got involved, and soon after, a restraining order was put in place. He was expelled and wasn't allowed within 50 feet of me. About a month after that, I was sitting in my room one night, doing some homework, when I heard a scratch at the window. I looked over, and then froze in pure terror. My stalker was standing just outside my bedroom window. He had a collar around his neck, and a leash was dangling down from it. He was intensely glaring at me through the glass. His face then crooked into a disgusting grin, before licking the surface of the window and ran off. I flipped out and woke my parents, who called the police. When the cops showed up, I told them who it was and what he did. They collected the evidence from my window and arrested my stalker for breaking the restraining order. Thankfully, I moved out of that town a month later, and I never heard from my stalker again. I still have nightmares about this to this day. Being stalked was not romantic or fun. It was terrifying, bone-shaking, and nerve-wracking, and the worst thing I have ever gone through. But I do hope that he got those issues worked out. I live in a very rural area of New Brunswick, Canada. It was early September, and it was my first day of school. I unfortunately was held back in my senior year, so I would be returning to high school as a 19-year-old. Since we lived in a very isolated area, the middle and high school shared the same building. I had study hall for first period. However, when I entered, I noticed that there was a new student on the other side of the room. He stood out because, like I said, it was a small community. I walked over to him and introduced myself. We shook hands, and he told me that his name was Chester. Apparently, he had just moved to the area. Being the friendly Canadian that I am, I showed him around the school and where his next class was. As I was giving him a tour, I noticed that he seemed a bit off. He began to ask me questions. At first, they seemed harmless, like how long I had been there or where a certain classroom was. But then, he began asking me some questions that seemed odd. He then asked me for my home address and Snapchat. And yes, it was as awkward as it sounds. I was completely taken off guard by this. I did not give him my home address, but I thought, what harm could it do to give him my Snapchat? A decision that I would later regret. When the last period of the day came, I had English class. There were only 9 students in that class. I took a seat and that's when I looked behind me and saw Chester. He didn't notice me right away. He was too busy making out with a sandwich. It was disgusting. He looked up and noticed me. Imagine that you're present at a murder trial, and the defendant turns around and looks directly at you. That should give you an idea of how uncomfortable I felt. He then gestured for me to walk over to him. Class was about to start, so I just ignored him. 5 minutes later, I look up from my book, and I notice that Chester is now staring daggers at me. The look in his eyes was predatory. He must have saw me as the next sandwich he was going to devour. Again, he gestured for me to walk over to him. I know an underwear-sniffing weirdo when I see one. I ignored him and continued reading my book. Then my phone pinged. It was a Snapchat message. Of course, it was from Chester. "Follow me," I replied. "We're in the middle of class right now." He got up from his table and asked the teacher if he could use the bathroom. He then walked out into the hall. I wanted to see why he wanted me to follow him. So, about 5 minutes pass, and I asked the teacher if I could use the bathroom as well. When I exited the classroom, I saw that Chester was about 50 feet away, walking very slowly. This guy was weird. I kept at a distance behind him, so he wouldn't know I was there. He then turned down the hallway that led to some storage rooms and the basement. I saw him open a door, walk inside, and closed it behind him. Confused, I walked over to the door he walked through, and I recognized it as the entrance to the school's basement. There was no way in hell I was following him down there. I just casually walked back to class. When I sat back down, my phone pinged again. "Why didn't you enter the basement?" Okay, so now I'm thoroughly creeped out by this guy. I just replied, "Look, just leave me alone. You creep me the hell out." I then blocked him. When I got home that day, I immediately started on my homework. By the time I was all done, it was around 11 p.m., and I was all by myself. I was putting all my stuff away when I received a new Snapchat notification. Someone had added me as a friend, but it was from an account called, "Why Didn't You Enter the Basement?" I knew it was Chester, so I blocked it. Not even 30 seconds later, I got another request. This time, the account was called, "Why Did You Block Me?" I blocked that one as well. Then another one came in. This time, it was even more ominous. "I know where you live," followed by, "I'm right outside your house." I then heard a window break downstairs. I immediately called the cops and told them what was happening. The operator said to find somewhere to hide and lock the door. I hung up and went into the hallway closet. My worst nightmare came true as I heard footsteps moving up the stairs. The closet that I was hiding in overlooked the staircase. I then saw a dark figure appear. As it moved into the light, I saw him. It was Chester. As soon as he reached the top of the stairs, he made his way to the middle of the hallway and then stopped. He then looked directly at the closet I was hiding in. It was like I was in a horror film. I didn't want to freak out and give away that I was hiding in that closet, so I retreated further in, concealing myself behind some thick winter coats. Chester then opened the door and peered inside. He couldn't seem to find the light switch and eventually gave up. After moving from room to room, I heard his footsteps descending back down the stairs. A few minutes later, The police knocked on the front door. I immediately left the closet and went downstairs and opened it up and told them what was happening. Of course, by the time that they arrived, Chester was nowhere to be found. After they searched the house, they determined that he escaped through a window in my basement. I showed the police the Snapchat activity, and they said that they would do their best to track him down. The next school day, I went to the principal's office to report Chester. I sincerely believe that he was a threat to both myself and the other students. But here's the creepiest part of the story. My principal told me that there was no new student named Chester. He must have snuck into the school somehow and blended in with the other kids, and none of the staff bothered to confirm that he was actually a new student. Thankfully, he was never seen again, and I never heard any follow-up from the police either. To this day, I still think about what would have happened to me if I had followed him into the school basement. I might have been his next sandwich. In early September, I started my senior year of high school. I was a bit of a loner, and usually kept to myself. I lived in a very rural area in northern Washington state, so it took me some time to drive to school. During my second period class, there was a student named Keith. I didn't really know him that well, but he never really seemed to bother anyone before. I noticed that Keith was staring at me. I was at the far right desk in the front row. He mouthed a few words to me, but I could not understand what he was trying to tell me. As the day went on, I would occasionally see him in the hallways, giving me nasty looks. I tried my best to ignore him, but something about this guy seemed disturbing. Finally, it was the last period of the day, and I was about to leave. However, I stopped dead in my tracks when I noticed Keith at the end of the hall, staring right at me. I acted like I didn't see him, and tried to blend in with a crowd of students who were leaving, but as I walked out the door, he watched me get into my car. I remember looking into my rearview mirror to see him standing by the parking lot, watching me as I drove away. By the time I got home, I had forgotten all about Keith's strange behavior. Later that night, I received a text from an unknown number. "I know where you live." I didn't know what to think, so I ignored it, thinking that it was a spam message, and continued working on my homework. A while later, I received another text. This time, it was more alarming. It was a picture of me walking into my school. The number then sent another picture of me in the school hallway. Both of the photographs were taken from behind. Another message then came in. It was my home address. My parents weren't home at the time, so I quickly shut off all the lights in the house and closed the blinds. The last window I got to was in the living room. I briefly looked outside to see a silhouette standing in my front yard. It was too dark to see who it was, but I closed the curtains and made my way to the basement and waited. An eerie silence settled in, as if something could happen at any moment. The silence was disrupted by the sound of the front door handle being turned. Thankfully, it was locked, but the fact that someone was trying to get inside was terrifying. 5 minutes later, I heard footsteps above me. Whoever was outside had found a way inside. I quickly hid under an old desk. I should have called the cops when I had the chance. I guess I didn't really think someone would actually break in. And now, I didn't want to give away my hiding spot. My worst fears came true when I heard the basement door creak open. I could see the light from the upstairs hallway shine in for a split second before it was switched off, plunging the basement into darkness again. It was now silent, and pitch black. I then heard a voice speak. It was Keith.
"I know you're down there. I can see you. Come out now."
I didn't know if he was bluffing, so I didn't move. He then slowly walked down the stairs and made his way around the room. I could hear him knocking things over and getting closer and closer. He then stopped directly in front of the desk. My heart was pounding a mile a minute. All went silent again until Keith spoke.
"Well, I gave you a chance to make this easy, but now you've really pissed me off."
At this point, my eyes adjusted to the dark, and I could see that Keith was holding a hammer in his right hand. Without thinking, I sprung out from under the desk and shoved Keith, sending him backwards, and then made a beeline to the basement stairs.
"I'm going to kill you!"
I heard something flying across the room and smashing into the old TV by the staircase. I would later find out that he threw the hammer. As soon as I got upstairs, I slammed the basement door shut and locked it, then ran out the front door.
"Let me out! I'll be brains dead!"
I immediately called the police and then my parents. I heard sirens in the distance. When the cops pulled up, I told them that he was locked inside the basement. When they entered the house and opened the basement door, Keith was gone. He escaped by smashing out a window. It turns out that I had forgotten to lock the side door, which is how Keith got inside. I told the police who Keith was and showed them the disturbing messages I received earlier. 2 days later, I was called to the principal's office. I was told that Keith had been arrested and would never be allowed back to school again. Thankfully, I never saw him after that. As far as Keith's motives were, he may have had some kind of psychotic meltdown and decided to act on a preconceived obsession of me. It's truly scary. One day he seemed so unassuming, and the next, he was in my basement, trying to kill me with a hammer.